This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Eco Radio. On tonight's program, Richard Mabian hosts several guests from our community discussing the process of visualizing a community-based garden at the Hilton Inn of Kansas City, Kansas. They'll also discuss the value of business, community, and public school relationships in the environmental world, along with how this kind of project should be done or considered for other such locations throughout the entire metropolitan region. But first, I'm Naturally with your environmental news. KSDK.com reports, the Coast Guard has reopened the Mississippi River after around 30,000 gallons of diesel fuel spilled near Hartford, Illinois. A pipeline operated by Phillips 66 ruptured and spilled the fuel into the Cahokia Canal, which empties into the Mississippi. Quote, the Unified Command has done a great job to ensure the safety of our personnel, local communities, the environment, and to open the river to boating traffic as soon as it was safely possible. We will continue to work with the stakeholders to successfully resolve the incident, end quote. Captain Martin Malloy of the Coast Guard Sector Upper Mississippi River said. The spill is under investigation. EcoWatch.com reports, Beijing's 21 million residents live in a toxic fog of particulate matter, ozone, sulfur dioxide, mercury, cadmium, lead, and other contaminants, mainly caused by factories and coal burning. Schools and workplaces regularly shut down when pollution exceeds hazardous levels. People have exchanged paper and cotton masks for more elaborate filtered respirators. Cancer has become the leading cause of death in the city and throughout the country. Chinese authorities, often reluctant to admit to the extent of any problem, can no longer deny the catastrophic consequences of rampant industrial activity and inadequate regulations. According to Bloomberg News, Beijing's Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that although life expectancy doubled from 1949 to 2011, quote, the average 18-year-old Beijinger today should prepare to spend as much as 40% of those remaining long years in less than full health, suffering from cancer, cardiovascular disease, and arthritis, among other ailments, end quote. News.uic.edu reports, consumers whose drinking water can be contaminated by the release of untreated wastewater and heavy rains face increased risk for gastrointestinal illness, according to a report in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives. Combined sewer systems collect both sewage and stormwater runoff on the way to treatment facilities. When heavy rainfall fills these systems beyond their capacity, untreated wastewater can back up into homes. To reduce the risk of home flooding during heavy precipitation, municipalities often discharge some of the untreated flow into nearby bodies of water. The release of untreated waste is known as a combined sewer overflow. In their study, emergency room visits related to gastrointestinal illness went up 13% in the 8 days following extreme precipitation events in areas with combined sewer systems that discharged untreated sewage and stormwater into drinking water sources. The true number who fell ill is probably higher, says the research assistant professor of the Environmental and Occupational Health Sciences at UIC, as not everyone checks into the emergency room. And the SpringfieldNewsLeader.com reports, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon is preparing to comply with the Obama administration's proposed rules to reduce carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants, even as Republicans in Washington, including Senator Roy Blunt, push states to defy the president's clean power plan. Nixon, a Democrat, will soon send a slew of state officials from Missouri's energy and environmental agencies to attend a special policy academy aimed at helping states find low-cost ways to meet the new requirements. Missouri is one of four heavily coal-dependent states participating in the policy sessions organized by the National Governors Association, along with Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Utah. The EPA plan sets annual emissions targets that each state must hit, starting in 2020 and continuing through 2030. Under the proposal, Missouri would have to achieve a 21% reduction in carbon emissions per megawatt hour of electricity by 2030. And today is the fifth anniversary of the BP Gulf oil spill. Check out our Eco Radio KC Facebook page to see a report there by Greg Pallast. And at this time, I'd like to welcome Richard Mabian to the mic.
Thank you, young lady. Hello, everyone. I see something going on. It's trying to tell me something. I'm not for sure what it is. It's been a little while since I've been on the air. I've missed all of you, and I'm really glad to be back. And I got one heck of a show for you tonight. You know how I'm very conscientious and concerned about the health, the environment, and the world we live on. And anytime I can find myself in a situation to be able to be a benefit to what's going on in the environment, I see it as a privilege to be able to do it. I'm sitting here this evening with a room full of folks that got together on this project that you heard being described there at the first of the show. It was saying that we're going to detail the process of us visualizing a community-based garden at a hotel, then the planning, staffing, designing, and the implementation phases of such a project. So we have people sitting here with me today were involved in the various stages of this process. So I'm going to start by, first of all, I'm going to introduce the key people from the hotel. I have with me the general manager of the hotel. Would you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Kurt Mayo, general manager of the Hilton Garden Inn in Kansas City, Kansas.
And with him we have...
I'm Kate Winkler, and I'm the director of human resources for the Hilton Garden Inn in Kansas City, Kansas.
All right, so here we go. One day I was sitting in the hotel, which is a place that I use for my office away from home, and I got confronted with a conversation from these two about something that they had been thinking about. Kurt, you want to bring us up to date on how this kind of evolved?
Well, part of the theme, our new lobby theme, is the garden. That's the lobby, and it's a place where people get together and visit, and it's kind of like a large living room, and it's supposed to be very comfortable, and we talk about the garden, and we had an idea that we wanted to get involved, and I guess going back and starting, when young people come into the hotel and the restaurant, we give them coloring books and things, and they're about the garden and environment and all that. We give away seeds and encourage them to plant a garden, and we got to thinking, well, how could we do this and get some of the local school children involved with a garden at the hotel, and you kind of took it from there, and we started talking to people, and we got it done.
If I'm not mistaken, Katie, it was you who went and got those that placemat in the seeds when I first saw it, wasn't it?
You and I were talking about your latest brainstorm and how you wanted to get the school children involved, and that's when I said, wait till you see what Hilton as a Hilton Garden Inn corporate was trying to do to incorporate gardens into the community, and what we pass out to the kids and the placemats that we give them not only talk about gardening and seeds, but trying to promote nutrition so that the kids, as they're sitting there waiting for their food, get a little bit of an idea of what's, where does your food come from? What's going on here? And that's when I said to you, oh, I've got just the thing to show you. And I went and grabbed the seeds and the placemats and said, this is what we're wanting to do, and this is what we need to do to get involved in the community. So from there, I think it was the blend began.
The blend began, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have to do some moving around in here, so y'all bear with us. I'm going to have the school come up next because my next move, he can share it right here with me. Come on, just bring your chair on up. The next move was to... I contacted the school board, the school administration, and talked to the dean of students, explained to him what it was that we wanted to do. I even talked to the science administrator for the school and explaining to him what we wanted to do. And through that discussion, they ended up leading me to the principal of Northwest Middle School. And once I met with him and explained to him what it was we were trying to do or what it was that the Hilton Garden Inn wanted to do, he had me come back, I think at 3 o'clock, to meet with some of the science teachers. So that's what I have sitting here with me right now is one of the science teachers. Introduce yourself.
My name is Rob Madden. I'm actually the social studies teacher.
Okay. Now, explain how the school got involved.
Well, the Hilton Garden Inn wanted to bring in some kids, and we also had community garden, so we just wanted to work together in a partnership.
Okay. Now, the school already had been involved in some raised bed gardens, right?
Yes, we have been involved for the last 10 years.
Last 10 years, and that's out in front of the school?
Right in front of the school.
Okay, so now we went over. I went over and I met with the school teachers, and then I was able, we had to figure out who was going to be help us with doing the garden. And that's where my next person comes in. I tell you, we got revolving chairs here, y'all. And you are?
I am Shea Bergman with Kansas City Community Gardens.
Okay, tell them what you do.
So I'm the Youth and Home Gardens Coordinator, and I just I coordinate about 40 gardens throughout the city, Kansas and Missouri sides, and we grow food with kids from seed to harvest. Okay. And just try to get them out there learning how a plant grows and where their food comes from.
Okay, well, after we had made contact with the Kansas City Community Garden, the next thing was for us to do was to actually go to the school. So one of you two want to tell us about that trip?
Well, I think that we set up a meeting where we had the opportunity to meet with the students in the garden club, and that's where we met with Robbie and Felice, who was the science teacher that we were working with. And it was fun to see the kids getting excited about what we were going to do. And this was happening in probably mid-February, yet we didn't plant the garden until the end of March. So there was that time period there where everybody's excitement was building. And I think as the kids were talking about it that were at the meeting, there were other kids in the school that were getting interested and wanting to be a part of it. And ultimately, we ended up with new faces at the garden when it did happen.
I know I have a photo that I told Kurt that I was going to send to him, which I thought was classic, because I had the Hilton Garden Inn folks in a classroom in a middle school with the middle school teacher in the classroom with the Kansas City Community Garden in that classroom sitting around a table, and then the students. To me, that's classic. I mean, that is what this whole project was about. I'm a dreamer and a visionary kind of person. You all know that. So for me, that was environmental 101. It's community organizing 101. When you're able to bring the business into it, and a relationship got started right then. I don't know if you all can remember the look on the kids' faces when we were in that room. Kurt, do you remember how the kids were looking? They were already anticipating being a part of this. You could see a sense of pride in them that they were going to be over at the hotel involved in putting that garden in. I'll never forget that. Then we went through a process of needing to find transportation. Do you want to tell us how that worked out? Because regardless of what it is you want to do with school students, especially public school students, you run into a problem with transportation. How are they going to get there? And how they gonna get back to the school? So tell us about that.
Well, Dr. Lane, she was gracious enough to allow us to use the school district vans to pick up the kids and take them as many times as we want. She's very generous.
Yes.
No problems. And you know, we're gonna be able to attend once or twice a month.
See, that in itself, again, adds to the classiness of this whole process. Dr. Lane is the superintendent of schools in Kansas City, Kansas Public School. So we had the people at the top that were recognizing the value of what this program was about and extended themselves to the point of us getting ready to do it. So now we're going back with Kansas City Community Garden. Okay, the plans had to be made, and basically what was it that you brought to the hotel to build these beds?
So we like to build these gardens in raised beds, and we used untreated cedar for that. It works well. It doesn't have any chemicals. It resists rot for quite a long time, and it has a nice look to it because the Hilton Garden Inn is a very nice-looking hotel, and we wanted to keep that going. So these are well-defined spaces from the street. This is a very busy street corner. So we wanted it to look good and orderly and you know, with some nice green vegetation growing out of these kind of red cedar board. They use double-stacked raised beds, so they're about 16 inches high, and they're 4 feet by 12 feet. So there's plenty of space to grow vegetables there, and you can grow a lot more in that kind of a space than you might think.
Okay, and you brought a truckload of dirt over. What was that about?
Yeah, so that was a mix of topsoil and organic matter, and it just seems to work pretty well. It's better than topsoil because you have a nice mix of organic matter, and you really don't need to fertilize much that first season. So it's a good starter soil, and it absorbs water really well. We're finding out we do have to water it quite a bit. Really good drainage on that site, but it just supports healthy plants that can get a good fresh start. And right now we have some lettuce and broccoli in the ground, and it seems to be doing pretty well. So
okay, now we go back. Kate, I believe you was there when the kids arrived.
Oh, when the kids arrived, it was awesome to see the bus show up, and they didn't climb out of the bus, they flew out of the bus, and they couldn't wait to be a part of it. And the fun part was the beds, the materials for the beds had been delivered, but they hadn't been put together yet. So the kids got the opportunity to put the beds together and hammer them together and then fill the wheelbarrows with the dirt and fill the beds themselves and before they planted it. So it was really fun. They actually did the work, and they really didn't want much help. They were pretty excited to be in control and in charge.
I mean, I'm sitting here listening to us talk, and we're talking about students, youth, you know, and here we old business folks, you know, and all of a sudden we engage with school-age students, and this is really cool to sit here and hear us talking about it. All right, we got to take a break, so we'll be back with you in just a second.
She meant me for someone exactly like you.
90.1 FM, supported by Kansas City Museum's Summer Concert Series, featuring Victor and Penny, Friday, May 8th, on the lawn of the Corinthian Hall, 7 to 9 p.m., 3218 Gladstone Boulevard. Antique pop duo Victor and Penny kicks off our Summer Concert Series, lending a modern voice to Prohibition-era jazz. All information at kcmo.gov/Kansas City Museum.
Reminder, marijuana is still illegal in
Kansas, Missouri.
Brains on fire!
From ARC to Microchip, late night, 11:30 p.m., Wednesday.
Reducing water stress. On this current cast. When less than 60% of a region's water supply is available for at-home use, that region is said to have water stress. 1 in 3 people worldwide live with water stress, and that number is expected to be 1 in 2 by the end of the century. But Tom Gleason, a hydrogeologist at McGill University, says that number can be reduced by implementing a variety of strategies, such as building new infrastructure, increasing efficiency, and affecting social change.
Our results do show that it is possible to either stabilize or reduce the number of people living with water stress. So that does give me hope for the future.
Support for CurrentCast comes from the Mitsubishi Corporation Foundation for the Americas. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
All right, I'm back with you. This is Richard Mabian, and we're here talking with a group of folks about we like to refer to it as community business environmental project. Yeah, I think that was a good title for it. We had just finished up talking about the youth arriving, and I took tons of pictures, and believe it, you should know that. Also, if any of you would want to join in this conversation or you're hearing something you'd like to speak about, just give us a call. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. The phone number is 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. 931-5534. Is there anything you have a question about or you want to inquire about, just give us a call, and we'll get you on the air. I want to, and something, when I was taking those photos, one of the things that got me was the kids' enthusiasm in digging the dirt and putting it in the wheelbarrows. Also, the building of the of those beds. I just saw behaviors that was just unbelievable for that age child. This day and age, you hear so many bad things about our kids, and it was so refreshing. Kurt, you want to speak to that? It was so refreshing to see them.
Well, it was the excitement and the way they took charge. You know, we all had to get in and move a little dirt, and it became obvious that this was their deal, and yes, they were in charge and fired up about it. And I mean, I was just really impressed with the enthusiasm and watching them work together as a team.
Right.
Because each time they moved the dirt, it was a team of two, and the way they worked together, and I was just really impressed with those young people, and made me very happy that we had decided to do this project. That's when I knew we had done the right thing.
Right, that's right. And it was women. I mean, you had girls. I mean, they would be two on a wheelbarrow, and they were digging the dirt and throwing it in there, and then rolling that wheelbarrow over there and dumping the dirt into the. I mean, they had to make a lot of trips. I mean, it just didn't happen that easy. I mean, they had to make a lot of trips bringing wheelbarrows of dirt over the field. Three. Of those raised beds gardens. You were there then. You saw a lot of that action going on. This is the teacher I'm speaking to.
Well, one thing that excited me, the dirt was 6 foot high. It was over 6 foot high, probably about 4 or 5 feet wide. So it was a lot of dirt.
Yeah.
But the kids were so enthusiastic. They had a great time, you know, and they can't wait to get back.
Well, that's one thing that I've worked with kids before, and I never heard one of them complain. You know, I've been around that age. What was the age group?
Well, these are all sixth graders.
Sixth graders. And what age is that?
So about 12 years.
12 years old. And, you know, you've heard them go, oh, man, I don't want to do this. Or, oh, I'm tired of standing around. You know, something. Usually you just have one. If it's just one. But not one of those kids ever showed any of that kind of behavior the whole time we was there. They was having a good time with each other. I had one little one, I called him a Romeo, because every group he worked in, it was girls in it. He never did work in a group unless it was girls in it. But they were busy the whole time they were there. There was never a time that someone was standing off to the side, looking off in the distance or something. Then, Kurt, you showed up. We had already started. So you came in like the emperor. but still, your opinion, the minister that came out of his coat and everything, that was.
It's just the community working together.
Yes.
We've got, you know, had different people involved, and I just, like I say, I was very impressed with the young people, and it also makes me think where we can go from here, because
yes,
I want to see more people doing what we're starting, and I'd love to see a lot more of them up and down Minnesota Avenue and
right,
every place else. But just, you know, I feel like I learned from the kids as much as they learned from us.
I did,
you know,
too.
I really was just impressed with them. And, you know, that first meeting over at the school.
Right.
I mean, this became their project. It wasn't our project, and we were letting them work with it.
Right.
It was their project. They decided what they wanted to do and were involved in the planning and everything else. I think that's what's exciting.
That's what it really was. I'm going to bring our community garden guy back up, because I noticed that you had a rhyme and a reason behind your processes. So kind of fill us in on that. On the blueprint of going from building them and putting the dirt in, and then when you got into planting, that was a very interesting phase. Watch how you work with them on that.
Okay, yeah, we made sure we had full sun, and that was pretty much a gift from the Hilton Garden Inn. You know, we have a great site that's out there in full view and full sun. So we started with a good print there, and then nice soil in those beds, and then we wanted to get them a mix of planting seeds. You know, you could stick in just a bunch of transplants, but they lose a little something there. So it's nice to see them, you know, plant seeds that actually sprout and germinate. And then we also planted some broccoli plants, some lettuce plants. And then we have a plan for the third bed that's just soil right now, and it's going to be some flowers. So they're going to get to see food growing. They're going to get to see, you know, attractive flowers. And, yeah, it's all a process. We had kids building those beds, and it was really funny to see those kids, sixth graders. You know, they don't have the upper body strength of a lot of us adults, and they were just hammering away at one nail for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
And I felt for them, but they got after it and they finished it.
Yes, I loved it. It was a sight to behold. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to bring in our last person that we have in here with us. And Bud, you want to come on up? Finally get you up here. He's been sitting back watching the revolving chairs as he's coming up. Kate, you want to say something about how they're going to use that food? Because some of the things he planted was herbs. I believe we have some herbs out there, and they're going to use those. And
the herbs aren't out there yet. I think the herbs are yet to come.
Yep, that's right. What is that?
I think dill's the only herb that's out there right now. But I know that we want to put in some basil and some rosemary and some of the more the ones that we will be able to use in our restaurant and be able to say to our guests, hey, these are ones that we built out in the, or that we grew from seeds out in the raised beds that are out in front, and that gives us an opportunity to brag on the students to our hotel guests as well. But most of the things that are being planted out there will be for the kids to harvest for them to take home.
Well, I noticed it. I saw a little gleam in their eye when they realized they were going to be doing something that could be used in the hotel. So we mentioned that to them. Now, Bud, I want you to introduce yourself. Tell them who you are, because at this function we had some dignitaries, and I consider Bud to be one of those dignitaries. So go ahead, Nils.
Thanks, Richard. I'm Bud Nickel. I'm the executive director of the Hotel and Lodging Association of Greater Kansas City. We're the trade organization that works with all the hotels in the area around Kansas City.
Okay, let me check this mic. Mike, is that someone? Okay, we got a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Will you give me your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please?
Hi, my name is Mark Manning. I'm calling from Midtown, Kansas City.
Yes, sir, Mark. What can I do for
Hi,
you?
Hi, Richard.
How are you doing,
thanks,
buddy? That's your school. Before you get started, that's your school over there. I'm very much aware of the fact that you're the one responsible for those raised beds out there in front of the school. And before you even say what you're going to say, I'm going to say a lot of what those kids showed, I realize, came from your instruction. So go ahead now and say what you got to say.
It's just exciting to hear about more gardens being built in KCK. I think the community of KCK has been sort of a leader in organic and raised bed gardening and more community gardening. And we've been doing gardening at Northwest for about 12, 13, 14 years now. And we're going to be, a lot of the sixth graders that helped you build the garden that you're talking about tonight are going to be rebuilding our garden. We actually were able to find lumber and soil to rebuild 12 of our beds at Northwest. So we're going to be doing that through the month of May. So a lot of the kids will be able to have a little bit more experience putting together the beds coming up the next few weeks.
Well, Mark, you know that I'm always glad to. I know what you do. I know exactly what you do and watch you build up what you've done in the city. That's why I'm so glad to be able to compliment you with the kind of programs we're doing. And as we continue to expand, we would like to do more work with some of the youth that you have in the various middle schools. Are you strictly middle schools?
The program that I do allows me to be at three different middle schools and four different elementary schools.
Okay.
And I work with about 27 different teachers' classrooms and about 1,200 students. And I do about 38 garden workshops a month in those classrooms in those seven different schools. I just kind of bounce around from school to school.
Okay, well, that's one of the things, and I'll get back with you. You and I need to talk.
Congratulations on the great work with the Hilton Gardens and all of the people involved in the project, and it sounds really great. So congratulations to you and to everybody involved.
All right,
and I'm so proud of the students at Northwest Middle School.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a great school, and they have – we work with over 200 of the sixth graders every month with our program, and they're just a really wonderful group of people. To work with all the time with the gardens.
All right, well, make sure you stop by the Hilton Garden Inn and check out their work up there, too, and let them know you saw it, okay?
I will. I'll definitely do that.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, now we're coming back to you, Bud. I might need to take a – I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back to you.
Support for KKFI 90.1 is provided by Californo's. Saturday, April 25th at Californo's in Westport, outside on the patio at 2 p.m. Bummer, B-Nod, The Conquerors, and Janet the Planet. Rock and roll on the patio deck Saturday, April 25th at 2 p.m. with Bummer, B-Nod, The Conquerors, and Janet the Planet. Info at Californo's.com.
My name is Jung Y. Vino, V-Tran. I'm a preacher's kid and the son of butchers. My family came to America with the clothes on our backs and we built from there. All my life, my family has asked me to tell our story, but I couldn't. Until now. Tune in Thursday, April 23rd at 8 p.m. to the local showcase to hear The Butcher's Son, live on KKFI 90.1.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. For decades, marine contractor John Flood built seawalls to shield properties on Chesapeake Bay from the wind and waves. But years later, when he went crabbing near the walls that he had installed, he found fewer crabs and noticed a lack of native grasses and birds, such as kingfisher. And he also learned that the seawalls were not doing a very good job keeping the bay at bay.
I've seen bulkhead sections in people's living rooms after hurricanes, along with the boats they had tied to their docks.
Today, he creates living shorelines, which use stone, native plants, oyster beds, and other methods to naturally fortify shorelines against severe storms and rising seas.
And I've installed living shorelines that looked like deserts of sand after a hurricane, then watched them explode into healthy green marsh the next spring.
Flood's work shows that reestablishing marshes and vegetation strengthens shorelines and supports wildlife, and that well-placed stone can break up the waves that erode beaches. Maryland now requires living shorelines for erosion control and property protection. And around the world, many scientists and governments are recognizing that to safeguard our shores, Mother Nature really does know best. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Okay, I'm back. You're back here again with Richard Mabian. And, you know, Mark, thanks a lot for calling in, man. That made our day to have a professional like you in the field to recognize what we've accomplished, I think, is rewarding, okay? Also out there, I'm going to give you the number again if anybody else wants to call in. That's 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Bud, you were just introducing yourself, pal.
Hey, I'm still Bud Nickel, and I'm still the executive director for the Hotel and Lodging Association of Greater Kansas City. We are an association of 130 hotels spread out around Kansas City from the airport to Overland Park, from Independence to Village West, and Hilton Garden Inn. It's one of our gems right in the middle of our population.
I told you we had dignitaries, didn't I? Okay. Now, I really loved your whole approach to the youngsters. I can remember your words almost verbatim. Even when you came up and asked them how many of them was tired of talking to adults or listening to adults, I thought that was cool because they all raised their hand. But you challenged them. You wanted to know. You said you were going to take what they had done and challenge the other hotels and motels to know why something like that couldn't be done at their locations. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Thank you, Richard. One of the things about the hotel community and the hospitality industry, we're always out to help people. And you see it every day with the way hotel staff will help their guests. But what a lot of folks do not see is, as an industry, we're very involved with the community, whether it's the Hilton Garden Inn working with you, whether it's one of our Marriott brands working with the Wounded Warriors Project. There's a lot that goes on that's not seen because hoteliers are not in it for the glory. They're in it because of their true belief and sincere wanting to help others. So that's why, and I'm going to ask Kurt and Kate to talk about how they wrote this up or will write it up, is my responsibility is to build the community of hoteliers in this area. So as they are an example, Hilton Garden, KCK is an example, I can challenge the other hotels of, if they're looking for a project, this makes sense. But I'd like to turn it over to Kurt and Kate to talk about how they can refer this back up to Hilton Garden Inn at the corporate level.
Okay. Well, we've already shared the information with them, and they were excited to get the pictures showing the young people. And they were very pleased that this would happen, and it's going to be available for other Hilton Garden Inns across the country to kind of see what we've done. And hopefully someone will do kind of the same thing and carry on with it. It just fits well with our mission and the garden concept, as well as our to be sustainable. That's something that the Hilton company thinks is very important, which it is. And right. We've got things like Light Stay, where we try to promote operating our hotels in a environmentally friendly way. So it fits in with what we're doing. But most of all, it fits in because of those young people. And watching them in action.
You know, I said it earlier and I said it again, I think it's really refreshing for the audience who listens to this show to understand that we have businesses in Kansas City that are taking that effort to engage in this environmental world that we're living in right now. And when you start getting leaders in the industry to start showing that kind of care and concern, that goes a long way for what we're doing with our kids. We're teaching kids about what needed in life, and for them to see a major entity like the Hilton Garden Inn to invite them in to do that on their property, that meant a lot for what my teachers back here are teaching them in school. That goes a long way. There was a couple incidents that happened. I want y'all to talk about them. The guy that had on the red pants, with the double hairdo on his head. Tell us about what went with that.
Well, he came up to Bud and wanted to know if he was a businessman.
I'm going to jump in on that one, Kurt, before you tell the lies on me. This was classic. I wish that we had had it recorded. Because here's a 12-year-old sixth grader, and he comes up out of the dirt, and he's brushing it off. And this is after I'd had my few moments of words with the kids saying what they were doing with the teamwork that Kurt talked about, with the energy that Kate talked about, and said, that's what we hire in the industry. So this young man came up to myself and Paul James from the Raphael Hotel Group, and he looked at us dead in the eye and said, are you businessmen? And before we could answer yes, because Paul and I had just come from the office, so we were still in our suits while Kurt was in his blue jeans digging dirt. Before we could say anything to that 12-year-old young man, he looked us in the eye and said, I want to be a businessman too. And we couldn't talk about what sort of business, because he just said, I want to be a businessman because I want to make something of my life. And Paul just said to him was, make sure you stay in school, learn as much as you can from these teachers that are out here helping you. Stay in school and learn from the community, know, such as the Kansas City Garden folks that are willing to work with you. And, you know, that kid was just floating on cloud nine to go back to, you know, keep digging. And I tell you what, both Paul and I talked about that for, you know, several days afterwards, yep, that was worth our time to make that connection with that young man.
That's what this is all about. You know, I told you, I'm the old environment one-on-one person, community organizing one-on-one, and that is exactly what this is all about, because our youngsters don't have an opportunity on many occasions to even meet anyone like you up close and personal. They'll see you on TV, they'll see you walking down the street, or they'll see you as they pass through some business. But to be able to come up and actually ask you that kind of question, and to get a decent response, and to be able to follow it up like he did, is, like I said, like you said, wish you had been filming it. That would be a perfect, that would have made a perfect film. Thanks for that. And I want y'all to know, the guy that went over and asked him this is the one that I told you I called Lover Boy, because every time he did something, he was with girls. That just goes to show you, this was a conscientious young man. And I'm be honest with you, when we talk to the kids, I said it and I say it now, they all needed to go home and tell their parents that we as a general public said thank you for raising those kids the way they had been raised. I mean, that goes with the school back here as far as their handling of the students. And then you could just tell that those kids had been raised with some respect for people. And that I really appreciate it. And I think, Kurt, you got a little announcement there, or a little thing you want to talk about as far as you adopting the school there.
Well, this is something we're working on. I'm also involved with the American Royal and their educational programs for young people. And it kind of bothered me that here's a school that's so close to the American Royal. And, you know, because of budget cuts and stuff, they're not able to go. So I'm working with people. We're going to figure out how to raise money, and we're going to get buses so we make sure that the science students at Northwest are going to the American Royal because, you know, they planted the seeds. They see where this food comes from. It makes sense,
yes,
that the agricultural part that the American Royal represents becomes part of the education these people, young people. It's just very important, and the teachers seem very excited about it, so I'm committed that I'm going to make sure that we've got buses, and we're going to take care of the students there. So I want other businesses, let's adopt some more of the,
yes,
the schools, and make sure that they are able to go to the American Royal. You know, that's a big part of Kansas City, and they are dedicated to showing young people what agriculture is about, and I want to make sure these young people are part of that experience. So that's step number two.
I am so, he told me that, and I'm just totally impressed with that and pleased to see that happening. And I agree with him. In fact, my conversation, because there's so much being said now about the cuts in education budgets, schools, and, you know, and the people who suffer are kids, because they end up having programs cut out of the schools. And I think that I think what you did is what needs to happen. We need to come together as a business and a community and various organizations and make sure that our kids are receiving the type of education that they need. It needs to be a combined effort. And up to now, we have been leaving that up to the schools. You know, the kids go to school, the school's going to take care of our kids. But now it's time for that example of them being able to talk to you all, for what you're talking about doing with the providing the transportation to get them there. Those are experiences, positive experiences, that make children, that they'll remember for the rest of their life.
I think it's not just a money thing, though, you know, and maybe it's because money's short right now that we're involved. I think the involvement is important. We can't rely on somebody else. I mean, we as business people and the community have got to take responsibility to educate the young people, because, you know, they're going to take over when we retire.
Right.
We if have to have retire. Generations. And, you know, I'd like to see more business get involved with it and work with the kids. Because when I was at the Aladdin Hotel, we had a elementary school from KCK came over and did job shadowing.
Okay.
And they did that for a while. And to see those kids, I mean, they were in the kitchen watching us cook and all that. In fact, we had a few of the Kansas City, Missouri City Council people came over and had lunch, and it was served by these young elementary kids. And I tell you what, you talk about fun.
Right.
And you talk about one worried general manager. That was me.
Yeah, I know
but
that.
But they pulled it off.
Kate, you shot your hand up over there.
You know, dealing with the students on the middle school level, I think, is really huge. I work with a lot of the high school students in the hospitality and in the restaurant programs that they're working on. I'm on their advisory board. But to see those younger kids get a taste of that from the very beginning or from such a much younger age, I think their enthusiasm would be much greater at a little on the high school level.
I do, too. You know, one of my ambitions was to create a pipeline so the kids would be able to visually see how what they were doing, if they just stayed in school, like you told them, that someday that could be an income producer for them. It started with the kids over at JFK the year before. And that's what got me involved with wanting something to be at Northwest, because we had the youngsters from Douglas Elementary. And I said, I think these kids, to next year, when they leave this program, this after-school program we had them in, that they should be able to go to Northwest and fall right into another program. Well, that day that we was there, when we took the picture, this other kid was in there taking pictures, and he looked at me and he said, "Didn't I see you last year over at JFK?" And it just sent chills to me, because that's what this whole thing was about. In fact, I told him, I hope to be able to do that again when he is in high school and when he goes on to college. I said, well, I hope you and I have this experience together. What I'd like for you to do, in the time we have left, we got about 4 minutes here, is what would you say to the other hotel general managers? What would you want them? I mean, I want all of you to give me your 2 cents worth on that.
Okay. One of the things is, Kurt said it very nicely, we want all the students to grow, to be productive in their own lives, but also in the community, because they will be taking our places as community activists, as teachers, as hotel general managers. So what I would encourage other hoteliers and other business leaders who, you know, I come face to face with, make the investment in our future. And the kids of all ages, but especially when you can get the 12-year-old sixth grader to have that dream to be a business owner, make that investment of time and energy, and we're going to see great dividends come back to us.
Okay. All I want to say is that, and y'all are not going to give me all this time by myself, not that I can't feel it, because I can, but at the same time, I think that having a chance to see businesses that are willing to work with community organizations that are working with our youth is a wave of the future. And, you know, I'm one of those persons that feel we'll be developing more of the kind of a closed-in type communities as we continue to evolve with the cost for gas and all the other things that will eventually become an issue in this country. They predict we'll be living in kind of like little concave, so to speak, little self-contained communities. And I think that's going to be a thing where people are growing their own food with each other, where everything is in walking distance. I mean, where people are doing businesses right out of the places where they live. I mean, there are prototype pictures out there showing those kind of existence in the future. You want to say something, Bud?
Well, I just want to go back to the encouragement of other businesses to be involved, like the hotels are, is whether that young student comes into my industry or another industry, that's not what's important. What's important is those students are going to remember that event, that they were involved in something unique, and being involved in something unique, they're going to want to pay it forward. They're going to say, someone did this for me. Who can I help in the future? And so going to your comment, Richard, about they may be working out of their own business, out of their own home.
Yes, and I agree 100%. I wanted to say to the people listening in this last 30 seconds I got that I want you to be able to mention this to the people who you know in the businesses that you're around and explaining and using what happened at the Hilton Garden Inn in Kansas City, Kansas on 5th and Minnesota as an example of what can happen in this country, what can happen in this city. So all of you know us there. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I appreciate it. I hope everybody out there listening got something out of the show, and I'll see you the next time I'm hosting the show.
Thank you, Richard. And this is Natural E again, and I have your environmental events for the week. The UMKC Student Environmental Coalition and Association of Engineering Geology Students are partnering with Surplus Exchange to present the Earth Week e-waste extravaganza. Bring any old electronics you just don't know what to do with to the UMKC campus April 20th through 24th. Keep those electronics out of the landfills and complete some spring cleaning. Many items will be accepted, including cell phones, computers, iPods, iPads, MP3 players, blenders, microwaves, wires, cords, and the like. The tube televisions will not be accepted. And this event is April 20th to 24th at UMKC in the Quad area, which is around 5100 Rock Hill Road in Kansas City, Missouri. If you'd like more information, visit surplusexchange.org. The Burr Oak Woods Nature Center's event, In Search of Wild Greens, will search for the first greens of spring. Attendees will learn to identify and where to find these delicate new plants, discover their nutritional value, and best of all, have an opportunity to sample them. This event will be held tomorrow, Tuesday, April 21st, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Burr Oak Woods Nature Center, which is in Blue Springs. For more information, go to the Burr Oak Woods Nature Center website, and you can find information about this event on greenabilitymagazine.org. And finally, the Missouri Clean Energy Coalition is holding its first lobby day on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015, which coincides with Earth Day. The goal in our inaugural Earth Lobby Day is to encourage legislators to support renewable energy and energy efficiency to address climate change and meet the requirements of the EPA's proposed Clean Power Plan. The MCEC will help people set up meetings with their legislators and then hold a rally at 2 p.m. on April 22nd, announcing the formation of the group. And those are the events that I have for this week. Mike, we'll be going out with H2O Radio.
A dirty little secret hiding in plain sight? The oil spill you've never heard of. That and other stories for the week ending April 19th, 2015. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin. And it's This Week in Water.
Tomorrow, April 20th, will mark the five-year anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And while BP's spill was incontrovertibly the worst offshore oil spill in the nation's history, another oil leak had occurred years earlier in the Gulf and has yet to be contained.
In 2004, Hurricane Ivan toppled an oil platform located 10 miles off the Louisiana coast and owned by Taylor Energy. The storm's powerful waves triggered mudslides that buried 28 wells under sediment, a situation that made traditional plug and abandon responses nearly impossible.
Taylor downplayed the environmental impact, estimating fewer than 4 gallons a day were spilling. But last week, a damning investigation report by the Associated Press says the spill is far worse than what Taylor or the government have publicly reported.
In fact, according to AP's analysis of more than 2,300 pollution reports about the Taylor leak, there's been a dramatic spike in oil sheen sizes and volumes.
Presented with AP's findings, the Coast Guard raised its leak estimates to about 84 gallons per day. The environmental watchdog group Sky Truth said the number could be much higher. Sky Truth president John Amos described the Taylor leak as a dirty little secret hiding in plain sight.
The government has allowed the company to shield spill-related information from the public in the name of protecting trade secrets. Last Friday, Senator Bill Nelson of Florida sent a letter to Interior Secretary Jewell and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Johnson, calling it unacceptable that oil is still leaking from the site and demanding prompt and full disclosure.
It should be noted that Taylor Energy declined to comment on the AP story, possibly because the company barely still exists. It sold off all of its offshore assets in 2008 and currently has a full-time staff of one.
In Wyoming, controversy has arisen over EPA's recent decision to continue allowing oil companies to discharge wastewater onto the Wind River Indian Reservation. An environmental group is planning to sue the government.
They say the EPA has not set limits for many of the chemicals the companies inject into wells. Additionally, the EPA has not required adequate monitoring of chemical pollutants, even as they are released into streams after the drilling process is over.
High Country News reports that in the 1970s, ranchers had argued that livestock needs water, even dirty water. So the EPA created a loophole for the arid West. The companies could release wastewater, creating new streams that might contain dangerous chemicals such as benzene or arsenic.
The newly revised permits tighten limits for some contaminants in the wastewater and include restrictions for a couple more chemicals than in previous permits. But as one critic notes, there could be as many as 450 unknown chemicals in the water that are not being tested. Many people are proposing to solve the world's water shortages by taking the salt out of salt water, a process called desalination. But one of the objections to doing so is that current technology uses much electricity, which can worsen our global warming problem.
Last weekend, there was a competition at the National Desalination Research Facility in New Mexico to determine what innovations might lead to a more efficient process for purifying brackish groundwater.
One of the six teams in the hunt was from MIT, and they have developed a method of desalination that uses about half of the energy of systems currently in operation. Their solution relies on solar power, which reduces carbon emissions, and it also conserves more water.
The MIT prototype removes salt from water by using electrically charged membranes that attract salt ions like magnets. The process uses a bank of lead-acid batteries like those found in cars, which are charged during the day.
The winners of the desal competition may be announced this coming week in time for Earth Day on April 22nd.
The Las Vegas Valley Water District in Nevada is on a listening tour. They're using a new method to detect leaks in underground water lines, a network of sensors that hears signs of trouble.
According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the system was designed and installed by a Canadian company called Echologics and provides real-time monitoring of water pipelines. It sends alerts when even pinpoint leaks are detected.
Small leaks can then be repaired, avoiding sinkholes and collapsing sidewalks or streets. And in a town that depends on tourism, keeping traffic moving along the strip is critical.
The system is the first of its kind to be installed in the country, according to a spokesperson from the Nevada Center for Excellence. Leak prevention is a national conservation priority because about 15% of water is lost to cracked or broken water mains.
And finally this week, William Shatner wants to solve California's devastating drought. In search of water, the famed captain of the Starship Enterprise wants to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Seattle? Apparently, the acting legend thinks Washington State has too much water anyway, so he's launching a $30 billion Kickstarter campaign to take it off their hands.
In an interview with Yahoo News, He announced his idea of building a pipeline from the northwest to the Golden State, along Interstate 5 and ending up perhaps in Lake Mead. He defends the plan as necessary given that California is the breadbasket of the world and home to 40 million people.
When asked about the practicality of such a plan, the political hassles, fights with local towns, environmental impact, the actor was unfazed, exclaiming that the idea of an above-ground pipeline was brilliant, because if for some reason it leaked, you'd be irrigating.
Yeah, a conclusion Spock might have called highly illogical. This Week in Water is a production of H2O Radio and is sponsored by Colorado WaterWise. Learn more at coloradowaterwise.org.
Hi, this is Tamara Severance with Peaceworks of Kansas City, and we're proud to bestow the 2015 Chris and Lynn Cheatham Community Peace Award to KKFI. Congratulations, KKFI, for all that you do for our community. You certainly deserve this award.
Thanks for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.